I was going to go on with it this month and finish out the other three or four pages of notes I have, but like Sister Teresa says, I was waiting on him. I pulled it up and looking at it, and I said, yeah, okay, got all this, I know all this, and it didn't feel good. And I said, wait a minute. The Lord give me all this revelation to me. Which, by the way, I want to speak something about revelation. You know the difference between knowing and revelation? That's right. Whenever you know something, you've heard it, you've read it, you may think it's true, you may believe it. But you won't know it and believe it in your heart until it's revelation, especially with God's Word. And that's the reason I reckon I act like a little kid, because I've read it and I've read it and I've heard it and I've heard it. But I tell you what, when it's in here and I know it, it blesses me. It feels, and I don't know, I say feel good because that's the only way. It's the entrance of the Lord's Word. Psalms 119:130. Anyway, so I was praying and talking to the Lord, and I had to get off another subject. I ain't even going to get on it, little trial I got going on. And I said, I got to get my mind right here. So I get to praying and talking to the Lord, and I had remembered watching a sermon by a really, really, really honored man I knew whenever I was younger. And I had watched his video ministry. This was like 9-10 years ago. I watched it. And it came up in my spirit, and I heard, Be Thou Faithful. Well, I said, okay. So I looked it up and found his ministry and was looking at it. And he's gone on past be with the Lord. And I was listening to his message, and it wasn't connecting. All I could hear was the title, Be Thou Faithful. That's the title this morning, Be Thou Faithful. So I go to praying. So we're getting completely away from where I was going with believer's authority, except it is connected. Now, I said all that. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12 and read in verse 23. For time's sake, I probably should have read that King James Version, because in my parallel Bible, it's half a page and amplifies a whole page. But we're going to do it that way. It says, this is Paul talking to born-again believers at the church of Colossae. And he's talking to them. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us. Say, transferred us. Hallelujah. That falls under that redemption, reconciliation. Has transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. When we talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, we're talking about the forgiveness of our sins. That's one of the greatest miracles there is. Jesus paid the price for it. God laid the plan out, and we received the inheritance and the blessing of it. I'm going to read verse 14 again. In whom, meaning Jesus, his Son, God's Son, we have our redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. Now he, the Son, is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. Now, a lot of people might say, well, man was created first. No, if you read your word, it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was there before the beginning of creation. So that shows us in Scripture that God was looking out for us even before we were here on this earth. He had everything laid up for us. Well, if he had it laid up that far back, why in the world would he not have laid up what else? He's got our salvation laid up. He's got our healing laid up. He's got our prosperity laid up. Well, I'm going to show you in Scripture now that it's not hard to have it. It's not hard to keep it. It feels hard. Trust me, I've been one of the biggest complainers there ever has been about trying to stay faithful in some areas. Now let's go on and read. I'm going to start at verse 15 again. Now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the invisible representation, that word's getting me, of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. For it was in him, the Son, that all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen, things unseen. Whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, by his service and intervention, and in and for him. And he himself existed before all things. And in him all things consist, cohere, or held together. He also is the head of his body. Who is his body? That's right. This assembly is part of it. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of his body, the church. Seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every aspect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in him, the Son, permanently. Now, I'm going to stop there just a minute. Should dwell in him permanently. Now, last month I talked about, and I'm not going to go back over it because I got so much to do today. I can't remember the whole list, but through him we are sanctified. Through him we are glorified. Jesus. Through him we are ascended because he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he is our hope and glory. And the Lord's telling us right here, he is the firstborn, the preeminence of all things. And we are in him. So guess what we get to inherit? All that. Praise God. I got a blessing reading that just before I get on with the rest of it. And God purposed, we're going to go to verse 20. That God purposed that through, by the service and intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself, to God, whether on earth or in heaven, as through him, the Father, made peace by means of the blood of his cross. Now, I'm going to go on to verse 21. And although you, meaning all of us, at one time were estranged and alienated from him, the Father, and were of hostile attitude in mind in your wicked activities. Now, Paul is not talking to the lost right here. In this letter, he has sent this to the church. But before we were born again, as the Word tells us, our minds are an enemy to God. They're in this fleshly body, and we are to control them. Now, if we didn't have control over our mind and it was like our spirit, it would not be an enemy to God. Just like our bodies made of flesh. If we don't control our mind, how are we going to control our bodies? It'd be really hard. I've had things that the hardest thing I ever had to do as a born-again Christian in my walk was give up cigarette smoking. And I'm not here preaching about people that smoke cigarettes. That's each and every man and woman's thing for himself. But for me, the Lord told me, I want you to stop. And, you know, I've been raised, it's just a bad habit. You know, it's like other things. You eat too much pork and your body's going to suffer. You drink too much water, your body will suffer, just like you don't drink enough. You get way too much water, it's called drowning. That's pretty bad suffering right there. I don't think you can do it by drinking, but that's way too much water. My point being is, the Lord told me to do something, and I struggled. The reason I struggled is because I wasn't struggling against the vices on my body. I was struggling against the Word of the Lord for my life, meaning I was disobedient. Therefore, my mind was being an enemy to the Lord and the act that it was doing. Now, this does always go back to the born-again believer before they are born again, because before you're born again, no matter how good a person is, Romans 6:23 or 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No matter how good a person is, we cannot measure up to God's righteousness. Because if we could, Boy, you'd have to take a do a bunch of erasing in God's Word. And when you, if that were to happen, which it's not, it don't matter what book it is, even if it's a book that's not got, no book has the power God's Word has. If you take a book that's teaching you something, you start erasing things out of it, it's not going to teach you everything. An instruction book. You're trying to read and learn something, and they take about half a paragraph out of something you need, what's going to happen? Well, the Lord's not going to do that. Now, religion will, men will, people will, the world will. We've seen it over and over again. I'm not going to get all on that. But it says right there, before, and although you at one time were strange and alienated from him, the Father, were of hostile attitude in mind in your wicked activities. Now verse 22 is really good. Yet now has Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death, in order to represent you holy and faultless and irreproachable in his, the Father's, presence. Now that verse right there tells you how, in a, just a little few words, Jesus Christ in the flesh, this body that we walk and talk in and live in, which he did the same, and in the death of his flesh has made us and reconciled us to the Father. Now, the world and a lot of people, I found out here not too long ago, when you go to witness to somebody, most of the time they're going to come, they think you're coming at them like you're passing judgment on them because you're trying to get them to come to church, to learn about God's Word, to learn about what's in store for you, to learn how to get the peace that you need, to learn. Number one, you have to, it says in Romans chapter 10, I believe it's verse 11, verse 6. A man must come to God and what? Believe that he is, that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, that's the first thing man has to do. They have to get their heart in the right order. But then after we get born again, we still got some straightening up to do. And we're always working on that. And I don't have enough time this morning. If I had 3 hours, I don't think I'd have enough time, but I sure can't in 45 minutes, but I'm going to touch on some things. And we go on and read in verse 23, and this he will do, provided that you continue to stay with and in the faith in Christ, well grounded and settled and steadfast, not shifting or moving away from the hope which rests on and is inspired by the glad tidings, the gospel, which you heard and which has been preached as being designed for and offered without restrictions to every person under the heaven. And then Paul says, of which gospel I, Paul, became a minister. That gospel is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, although my title says, Be Thou Faithful, I hope and pray everyone in this room is born again. And I say that because I see things in everyone's lives that I see here that has fruit of you being born again, but nobody knows for sure except that person and the Lord. And I was telling Brother Scotty yesterday, we was doing the fasting last week for the church. I fasted for the church, I fasted for the ministry. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to be smart. Like, I don't like fasting. I like to eat. It's not that I want to eat so much, but I like the act of sitting down and eating a meal, like, you know, maybe like I used to smoke a cigarette or have a cold drink or something. You know, the mornings, me and April would go, to ride to work together, we'd stop at Jackson and eat breakfast together. We've done that for a while now. That blesses me. Well, guess what Wednesday morning I didn't do? Nothing, uh-uh. And every time, I hadn't fasted a lot, but every time I have, boy, I get a headache, get sick to my stomach, and you know, every time except one, I'll get right up to the end and say, Lord, I'm going to fast from here to here. And I get nearly to the end, so I can't take it no more, Lord, and I break it. Get whooped over all kinds of stuff, thinking about eating. Stop the fast. Until Wednesday. And I don't know why, whenever Brother Scotty last Sunday said, okay, we're going to do this, and I shut up my hand, all the thing I could think of was Wednesday. Okay, Brother Scotty, I'll do it Wednesday. He didn't say, ask for Monday or nothing, but I said Wednesday. I don't know if I messed his order up. But anyway, I did it. And I want to praise God because that's one of the easiest things I've ever done. I mean, I woke up Wednesday morning, and I didn't eat like a hog, went Tuesday night before I went to bed. I mean, that's not good for you. And I woke up Wednesday morning, and said, oh, I got a fast day, so I prayed. And usually what I, now this is how not smart I am. Sometimes when I fast, I say, I'm going to sneak this over on the devil. I'm not going to say nothing about it. I'm just going to thank Lord I'm going to fast because he can't hear my thoughts. Lord, I'm going to fast today. Well, I don't know what happened, but it was still trouble until Wednesday. Wednesday, it's like a revelation. I didn't have no headache. And then April wasn't able to hear the sermon, so I told her about it. She said, I'm going to fast with you. I said, okay. Well, she got a bad headache. That's her business, her thing. For me, I'm sitting back and I'm drinking water and I'm at work. Now, I get a little hungry. And I said, nah, I ain't going to do that. But, you know, nothing's happening, nothing bad. I ain't got no bad side effects. I ain't got no headache. My stomach don't feel sick. Man, this is pretty neat. I like this. I can handle this. It's pretty easy. So anyway, before I did the fast Monday, my son called me. Now, I'm not meaning to get off on a tangent, but the title I'm talking about this morning is Be Thou Faithful. For several years, I've been praying for my son. I know he was raised in church over half his childhood and part of his adult life. And he got away from God, and he don't go to church anymore. And I've been witnessing to him a little bit of time, and I'll tell him, son, I'm not preaching to you, but this, and this. I know, Dad. Well, I happened to call him Monday, asking him some things. He's a mechanic, and I was needing to ask him some questions. And he felt kind of off. I don't know how to, you know, I just felt something wasn't right, and I asked him, what's going on? I'm going to make a real long story kind of short. He just went to talking. Dad, I've got this going on, I've got this going on, I've got this going on, I've got this going on. He's 43 years old. And he's talking to me like he's 17. And I said, I start telling him things. I said, well, you need to do this, do this. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's going, hey, you know, I'm over here. Tell him about God. Tell him about the Word. So I said, okay, Lord, give me the words to say. Holy Spirit, I started talking. I got him to be quiet a minute, and I talked for nearly 35, 40 minutes without stopping. And I said, son, God's Word says. And I would give him a scripture and quote it to him. I said, you know, this thing that's bothering you, God's Word says he can give you peace over it. And I said, I am a walking, living testimony because I'm not giving myself any glory, but because the price that we just read about that Jesus paid for me, if I will be faithful, I was able to be there for my son. I was able to give him living water, words of life from God's Word, because I was faithful. Now, the credit going to me is only one thing. I chose to be. And that's not easy to do sometimes. I know that. But before it was all over with, I remember the Holy Spirit, I like this when he does this. He says, hey, Scotty said this. I love my pastor. I love him. And I've got more, except for the gentleman I told you about when I was a kid, remembering him, I've got more comes up in my spirit remembering Brother Scotty than even my own daddy. But Brother Scotty said, if you want wisdom, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Read one a day. Tell him that. So I told him, I said, get you a Bible. Do you got a Bible? Yeah, Dad, I got a Bible. I said, better yet, I'm going to send you a link. You got an app on your phone for a Bible? Well, no. I said, I'm going to send you a link. And I sent him the YouVersion thing that I use, Apple. I like it. And he said, okay, yeah, send it to me. He said, what do you want me to read? So we sat there on the phone, and we read some scriptures. I read some to him. Most of them already knew. But I said, what I want you to do, and I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that whenever you honor what God does and you're faithful, he will reward you for this. Now, this is before my fast. So I said, I want you to read a chapter of Proverbs a day. I said, there's not a whole lot of things coming at you in Proverbs that's telling you need to, you know, I said, in other words, there's nobody in Proverbs preaching to you about you need to get saved. But I said, there's words in there that will, I said, it talks about God. It said everything comes from God, but there's words in there that will give you wisdom if you will read them. One chapter a day. I said, give me 31 days. He said, okay, Dad, I can do that. So we talk a little while, hang up. I'm thinking, I'm praying, Lord, I hope he does it, because I don't think he's going to do it. He's got a lot going on in his life, you know, with his work and everything. He's got too many irons in the fire, is what my granddaddy used to say. He's trying to do too much. And then one of his things are suffering his job for it. And that's one of his problems. And I said, Lord, I pray, Father God, that the words that you give me to say to him, you know, your word says it won't go out void. Lord, let him get one chapter, chapter one in. And I believe he'll keep on. So Tuesday morning, the Holy Spirit says, won't you read it with him? Because it says in James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, to ask God, and he'll give it to him. Lord knows I lack it. Y'all know me. I don't do the smartest things in the world. I know y'all heard the story, so we ain't going to go there. Anyhow, so I sent him a text, Proverbs chapter 3, and I said, is this where you're reading today? I want to read it with you. And he said, yes. So we read it. I go on about my last week. I read it a chapter a day. So we get down about Friday morning. Well, I have this other mechanical problem thing I need his expertise about, his opinion. So I'm calling him, talking to him, and I said, before we got off the phone, I said, are we reading chapter 7 today? He said, Dad, he said, I done read chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 12. Glory, hallelujah. I was walking all over the house, clapping and shouting and praising God. He had never done that. And all the times I've known him as a grown man, he's never done that. And he's still reading it. And he's happy. He said, Dad, you're right. He said, I don't know what. I said, I do, son. I said, keep reading. I said, don't stop when you get done with Proverbs. Keep reading. So what the point I'm telling you of that story is, if I was not faithful to what God has for me in my life and what he has in store for me through his word, I don't think that would have happened. Because when he called me, I would be giving him worldly wisdom. Son, you got to follow your heart. You got to follow your head. And you got to do this. All these cliche things that the world gives us, they don't work. And if they do seem to work, it's only for a short time. And nothing in the world will give us peace and happiness except God. And how we get that? Well, when you believe God, you have faith in him, right? Romans 10:17 says what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the Holy Spirit's telling me, if you want to help your son, get him in the word. Now, he says he's born again. I've asked him several times. And that helped a lot, because if he is born again, if you happen to get away from the Lord, and, you know, some whatever happens to a person, they're not as faithful as they need to be, the word will bring you back. That's what the parable of the prodigal son is. Whenever you start reading God's word, if you're lost, the Holy Spirit starts getting in there to your heart. That spirit part of you. And I explained that to him. He didn't understand the three part of man. I said, you need to let God in there with your spirit. I said, we all call it our heart. I said, when the Holy Spirit gets in there, he'll start giving you revelation to what God's word has in store for you. You'll start seeing things. For lack of a better word, you'll start feeling things, which is the fruit of the Spirit when you're born again, which is love, joy, peace, patience, temperance, long-suffering, all of those things. And I love what we get taught here all the time, because I need as much as anybody, because like Brother Scotty says, your body cannot, fleshly body cannot barely survive eating twice a week. And it's not good for it if you could survive. Same thing with our spirit. Now, we come in here and we eat this big meal in our spirit, and then we go back out there, and what happens? Yeah, we got the world just taking up all of that and clouding us up and the cares of the world, so we have to be faithful. How are we faithful? We come back. And we come back. And we stay in God's word. Because I'm going to show you in Scripture, and I've done talk too much as it is, some of the rewards and some of the dangers, one in particular that we will all bypass. And I want to say this. Concerning the authority I was talking about last month, The authority is not a superhuman hero power from God, but it is a supernatural power that God instills in us through the Holy Spirit that will keep us faithful. And you might say, well, why is that? I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I used to hear people say that they could tell you almost down to the minute they got saved. You know why that is? Because that was their revelation of the Word of God and salvation. I can tell you, it's April 20, 2014, right here in this altar. At that particular night, Sister Teresa was bringing the message. And I come up here and said, I don't remember exact words I said. I want the Lord. I want Him real, like I'll talk about. And buddy, I'm going to tell you what, I won't ever forget it. That's my connection. I want that. And every time I think, be honest with you, yeah, I have thought a few times, man, this is hard. Last night I had a lot to do. I didn't get to study till late. I said, Lord, this is kind of hard. But compared to what Jesus went through to get it for me and give it to me, it's nothing. Nothing I can do will suffer for the suffering He paid for me. Because if He hadn't paid it, I got to pay it. But He's already paid it and put it up. I ain't got to pay it. So now, let's go to, and I'm going to say this. In Revelations chapter 2 and 3, Jesus has a letter that He's given John to each of the seven churches that He's talking about. At the end of those letters, He tells them what. Now, in all of the letters, He's telling them things that they got, things that they don't need, that they do have, things that they need that they don't have. He's giving them instruction. And He's telling them what they need to do, to paraphrase it. But at the end of the letter that He's talking, sending to the church, He always has a reward. Now, it starts in chapter 2. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, please, Travis. He says, and He's talking, of course, telling John to write this, he says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. What does it say next? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you what? A crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. And what does it say next? Thank you. I wanted us all to read that. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now, crown of life. I had a message about that. In the Garden of Eden, there was two trees that God told Adam and Eve that they could not eat out of. All the rest of them they had. One was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and one was the tree of life. Well, we all know the story in Genesis chapter 3, I think it is, that Eve ate, she was beguiled, deceived, and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And after everything was done, God drove them out of the Garden of Eden because that they eat of the tree of life, especially in their current situation. That's another whole message in itself, and I can't go there right now. But what I'm trying to tell you is this crown of life is the fruit of the tree of life. That's our eternal life. That's our John 3:16. He that shall believe, for God so loved the world that He sent His Son into the world. That whosoever should what? Believe in Him shall have everlasting life. That's eternal life. That's our crown of life. But it says, Jesus says there, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Now, shall not be heard of the second death. Before we go, what is the second death? I got scripture, I got to get into that. I got 15 minutes to do it. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. I'm going to try. The first death a born again believer experiences is the death of this fleshly body. It's no more than a door for us. The reason we should not fear it is because Jesus paid the price of the fear that it brings. We don't have to fear it because when we go through that door, guess what? we have something, the crown of life, to look forward to. We also have something that we have bypassed because we have received the crown of life. And how did we receive it? Be thou faithful. Jesus paid the price. We got it. We are to keep it. We are to do what we need to do to keep it. Now, Revelation 20, verse 14. Did I give you that one? Okay. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Jesus talked in the New Testament, and he told, I believe it was the Pharisees, don't be afraid, I'm going to paraphrase, of the one that can kill your body, but fear the one that can cast the soul into hellfire. It says right there plainly, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death and the lake of fire are eternal. What is the lake of fire? The place of torment. The one that we refer to as hell. Now, they're used, the lake of fire and the second death are used in these identical terms to, for lack of a better word, to tell and describe the eternal state of the wicked judged by God. And the reason that is because they have died, people in the world have died lost. What does that mean? In the unbelief that they would not believe God's word, and if they did hear it, they did not adhere to it, they did not let it work in their lives, and their wicked deeds. Therefore, there's going to come a time that they're going to be judged of God, and they're going to be cast in this lake of fire. With who? Death and hell right now is in there. For a born-again believer, that's where they're at. For the lost person, they still have this fear. They don't realize, or they don't want to, because they're living their life in this world, whether it be a good life, a bad life, a medium life, whatever. And they won't let the Word of God get in here, to even start to try to be faithful to God's Word. Now, Revelations 21:8, please, Travis. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That describes everybody that's in there. Do you see anybody in there that's got love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance? There's not once named in that. The reason for that is because there's not a born-again Christian in there, not a true born-again Christian. John 8, 21 through 24, please. Now, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he's trying to explain to them, and this is the problem the world has. And he's telling them, he said, therefore, he's told them, he said, he's going to go away. And they just can't get their head around it. And this is the reason why. Therefore, he, Jesus, said again to them, the Pharisees, I am going away, and you will be looking for me. And you will die in and under the curse of your sin. Where I'm going, it is not possible for you to come. At this, the Jews, the Pharisees, began to ask among themselves, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where am I going? It is not possible for you to come? And he, Jesus, said to them, you are from below, meaning this world. That's where their mind is. That's where their heart is. That's where their thinking is. I am from above, meaning the Father in heaven. You are of this world, of this earthly order. I am not of this world. That is why I told you that you will die in and under the curse of your sins. Why? For if you do not believe that I am he whom I claim to be, the Son of God that come to reconcile and redeem us, if you do not adhere to and trust in and rely on me, you will die in your sins under the curse of sin. That is where and who is in the lake of fire. which is the second death. Now, Revelation 20, verse 10, please, Travis. And the devil that deceived them was cast to the lake of fire, and it's talking about some things in prophecy, but it is going to happen. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So now we see who is in the lake of fire: death, hell, the lost, the unsaved, the devil, the false prophet, and the beast. And what are they going to be doing there? Tormented day and night forever and ever. That's where we get it out of God's Word. There's not going to be no "you burn up and that's the end of it." A lot of people that's not born again think that. It's not going to be the way it is at all. And some of them, it scares them. They don't even want to think about it. I'll worry about that later. No, later never gets here, because tomorrow never comes. God said today is the day of salvation in His Word. That means you better think about it today, and you better get it done, and then be thou faithful. Revelations, I think I already did this once, 14 and 15, Travis, please. I want to read that again. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, this is the part I love. And you might say, well, Brother Monty, didn't you know that? Yeah, I did, but it's a revelation. What does that mean? I believe it. I know it. It's going to happen. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire, and I don't love that. What I do love, Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 11. I got my scriptures mixed up. Now, Jesus told the 70 when He sent them out, I ain't going to have time to go there and read that. He gave them power and authority, like I was talking about last month, and He sent them out to do works, and they came back and said, "Master, even the spirits are subject to us." And He told them, He said, "I give you the power over spirits and to tread on scorpions." But He said, "Don't rejoice about that." I'm paraphrasing. "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Here's why. "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man can take thy crown." Now, I want us all to think about this. I'm not saying anything in my own opinion. We just read in Revelation chapter 2, what? If we are "be thou faithful unto death, we receive the crown of life," right? Now, it don't say crown of life here. We get other crowns in our walk with the Lord. But it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast." Well, we read in chapter 2, we have the crown of life if we're faithful unto death. And then Jesus is saying that no man take thy crown. I don't have the details. I'm not going to even go into that. But Jesus said this, and I believe it. Now, I know what it means. The only details I'm going to give you is, if you're not "be thou faithful," you can get into a position where you think you were faithful and you're not faithful. And you'll actually be further away from God than you ever thought you could get. That's the reason there are people in churches for 20 years, sometimes, maybe longer, maybe shorter, that's never been born again. That's what this means. But when you do get it, Jesus said, "Be thou faithful." There's one thing I want when I get to heaven, or two actually. I know I'm going to get to do the first one. I want to see my Lord, my Savior. I want to see His face. I want to touch Him. I want to hug Him. I want to hold Him. I want to tell Him. I want to glorify Him. I want to praise Him. But I also want to hear, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant." That is, why do I do what I do? It's not because I want to be seen. It's not because I want to be heard. I want to be obedient. I want to be faithful. Because I've seen what it's done in other people's lives. And then I started walking that. And don't get me wrong, sometimes I miss it by miles. But you can back up and you can ask the Lord. Said, "Lord, okay, I missed it. I've had to do it before. I'm sorry. I repent. For the unborn again, which, by the way, I love that term born again. I like it better than saved, which is saved is very, very true. But I like born again because think about it. Think about it. Think deep about it until it almost makes no sense to your brain. Then you'll start getting it. Born again. Again. Behold, all things are new. We're new creatures. Man, that means we got something that we never had before until then, until now. And it's not, you know, be thou faithful. It's not that you quit coming to church or you quit doing things for God. It's that you're getting away if you're not faithful. Everything in this world is geared, this world order. When scriptures I read telling the Pharisees, he is not of this earthly world of order. Everything in this world is set up because who has the rule over it now? To tear us down, to kill, steal, and destroy. There's nothing in this physical world except God's Word, which is God's voice in print on these Holy Bible pages and what you read on your phones. And there's nothing else in this world that's going to do the opposite of that except God's Word. It's love. And then when we learn God and we learn love and we learn how to walk by faith, we learn how to use our faith and we learn how to love, then we start getting what? The fruit of the Spirit. I love all of them. I like Revelation the most, and it's not because I want to know a whole bunch of stuff. I don't care how much I know. It don't matter to me how much I know. Revelation is what I love because every time I get a revelation, I know. And it's not it's just because me. It's because my heart is one with God now, and I believe what God's Word says, and I believe God, therefore I receive. And I'm not doing it to receive. I'm doing it because... Husbands, how do you feel when you hug your wives? Wives, how do you feel when you hug your husbands? Mother and father, how do you feel when you hug your sons and daughters? Grandparents, how do you feel when you hug your grandchildren? Multiply that by millions and millions and millions. When I get revelation, it's like the Lord hugs me. That's the best analogy I know how to illustrate, I know how to get. And when the Lord hugs me, man, that feels good. That means, okay, let me dust you off. It's going to be okay. Just be thou faithful. And it's not like there's a lot of instruction for it. In 2 Timothy, I believe it is, I believe it's chapter 3, it says, study to show thyself an approved workman before God, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you get revelation, there ain't but one person can... Really, it's not taking it away from you, but you're taking it away from yourself, and that's yourself. Because when you get it, if you stand on it, it's revelation from God. That's the only revelation that means anything to us, that will stand no matter what. Because Jesus prayed for us all in John chapter 17, verse 17. He said, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Man, when we get that, it's not as hard to be faithful as we make it out to be sometimes. And like I said, I trip up probably more than a lot of people do. But the one thing I want to hear when I get into heaven is, enter in, thou faithful, good and faithful servant. And Lord knows, in my heart, I'm doing my best, but I can do better. And I'm trying to do better. Anyway, that's all I got this morning. If anybody's got anything they'd like to say.